This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. Jerry's been very busy recently on this station, because we have a very exciting giveaway that I believe is starting tomorrow. And Jerry is right front and center.
Right in the middle of it?
Right in the muck. Right in there. Jerry. Jerry's jingles will be returning.
I love it.
You're going to want to hear this. So that starts tomorrow. But Jerry will make his weekly appearance in about a half an hour. Ray Ferraro coming up in about 5 minutes on the Leaf game tonight. Mitch Marner activated. He's playing.
Yep.
Freddie Anderson goes Rocky too and says, I'm playing tonight as well, storming in. Maybe he didn't storm in, but
yeah,
why not? For the purposes of this show, we're going to pretend like he stormed in.
Scissor kicked the door, said, I'm playing tomorrow.
Yeah.
My net.
Just started yelling at the sports science department and said, I don't care what your graph paper says, I'm playing tonight.
Exactly.
I'm going old school.
He can handle it. I mean, Jacob Markstrom played back-to-back on the weekend against the Edmonton Oilers and played fine. Won the first game 5-2, lost the second game 3-2. And Carey Price did it during their stretch. Like, these guys are strong enough to handle it mentally and physically. There's no reason why Frederick
Anderson... Do it twice a year? Like,
that's what I'm saying. If it's a one-off here and there, not a big deal.
I think it's more the symbolism of this, the idea that he's taking ownership and leadership and saying, I'm playing.
Right.
Like, you guys, it got ugly late last night.
Yeah.
Matthews came out and said we quit. We hung him out to dry. Sheldon Keefe wasn't happy about it either. Nobody would be that it got to that point. And this is a team that appears to be lacking quality leadership. Like, drag yourself out of it. Have some jump.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that Freddie Anderson is going to take it upon himself. Doesn't mean it can be all on him tonight.
No.
They better not be banking on him making 50 stops and winning 1-0.
No. They've got to have a response. To me, that's a... It's a shot across the bow, a by Freddie going like, you guys quit on me. You want to make it up to me? Let's see how
it goes. Let's get rocking here tonight.
Against Colorado, a team that, you know, is really good. Philadelphia is a really good team too. Like, I don't want to discount them. They had a fantastic November. They're very skilled. They've got a great goaltender, great young goaltender in Hart.
And they've handled him properly, too. They haven't gave him the total keys of the car. No, they're like, if you're struggling, we'll sit you for a bit.
Yep. They've got a good thing going there, just a little bit more under the radar. But Colorado, because of Nazem Kadri, because of Nathan MacKinnon, because of Rantanen, like, that team is stacked and looks to be able to do some damage. This Cale Makar is a player. The player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's my rookie of the year right now.
Not even
hands
close.
Down. But
yeah, I don't think Quinn Hughes would be number two, probably.
Yeah.
But like, he's a distant two.
Yeah.
Like, Cale Makar's got it locked
down.
Watch
this kid play tonight. There's a reason why they felt they could let Tyson Barrie go based on, you know, what Makar does.
MacKinnon already said it's been a year and not even a year. Played a little bit last year,
right,
and this year
is
already
season.
One of the best players I've ever played with. Already, for him to say that, that's something.
Yeah, he's that Crazy. Good.
Yeah.
He is that good.
So,
but Mitch Marner returning tonight.
That's a big boost.
It's a big boost, and I think what's become evident over this run is his value, the fact that he can be... He's not necessarily intense, but he's always noticeable, and he's a guy that he plays with energy, and he plays in every single situation.
He's competitive.
He's very competitive.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Like, that's exactly what you need, though. Like, they need some guys here to say, like, and we know who it has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be the guys that get paid the money.
Yeah.
Like, Matthews and Tavares did not show up last night for the most part, and they lost the game.
Yeah.
Tonight, I would expect a better effort from both. I think Matthews is the guy that's, if he's not going to be fully committed,
right?
That's a big picture situation. You're in big trouble. Because you're paying him 11.6, and you built this around him. He's your core piece.
Yeah.
But Marner, you know, through the contract negotiation, not publicly, but through the media, it was always suggested, hey, I'm just as important. I bring a lot. I'm more consistent.
Yeah.
I hit 94 points. I play every night. Now, obviously, that hasn't been the case for the past 4 weeks because he's been injured for the first time in his career, more or less.
Yeah.
But I think his value has been on display based on his absence.
Yeah.
Based on him not being around.
Right.
You can see it. You're like, okay, I understand. This would be a shift where Mitch comes over and brings a little bit of life to the building.
Or he does something to kind of drag guys into it. Not run somebody through the boards, but a creative play that allows guys to either get a point or feel confident, or they get a strong puck possession that rolls over into more shifts. Like, right. That's what Mitch can bring to the table.
So you received your Elmer Fudd in the 4 p.m. hour.
I did.
Half chance.
Another recipient going on the Wall of Fame.
There were a couple of examples last night. Ray was on, and I had never heard this term before, top bins. Apparently very soccer-esque term.
And his kids like it.
Well, all
Ray
the
has,
kids.
Yeah, Ray has a soccer background because his kids are involved in it.
Right, and I guess that's kind of where the genesis of this came from. But it's big in the soccer community.
Wow.
And Ray said, if I get the opportunity, I'm going to drop a top bins last night. And this is what went down during the game last night.
Self-inflicted wounds really hurt the Senators. Eric Brännström turns the puck over. Antoine Mertzel goes top bins and makes it 1-0.
There it is. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, the most recent recipient of the prestigious Elmer Fudd Award, Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
Do I get like one of those red and black checked hunting hats for it that he wore?
That's what we should hand out.
That would be amazing.
That's the award.
Yeah, with
be.
The ear flaps?
Yes, pull them down, take a picture, and put it out.
That's a great idea. Yeah, we're going to do that.
You know how teams, like the Leafs are handing out the ball, and other teams hand out the hard hat or the belt or whatever? We hand out the hat.
But where are we going to go with this from here? I mean,
well, who else can we, like, it's easy to get you guys.
Chris Cuthbert is going to do something
no,
like that? He won't.
That's the problem. Like, they have integrity and they're professional. So
that's true.
It's easy to get Noodles and Ray
saying,
to do it.
This is like a 2-day thing for us,
no,
and it's over.
No. I feel know. Like there are other
no,
ways.
But what? Noodles, don't you think you could, if you hear something in a basketball game, if one of the basketball guys pulls something off that you really like, they could be awarded an Elmer Fudd Award.
Yeah, that's
true. I know,
true.
But the difference, Ray, is you and Jamie said, yeah, we can do that. They will tell us to screw off.
He's saying just listen for it. If you hear something that's out of the ordinary, then maybe we hand out the Elmer Fudd.
Like, Jack, obviously, get that garbage out of here. But, I mean,
but you know you're hearing
but that. But that's his thing, yeah. I'm not sure.
It's got to be. I think we can work on this because this could be a prestigious award. It could be like once a month you hand out the Fudd for the month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love it. I don't see why not.
We could send Gary Thorne one for his soundbite of what was
no,
it?
No, I've had enough.
Nope, I've had enough. It's a great Fudd.
That is an absolute Fudd. That was the first Fudd of the year.
Yeah. That was that laid the groundwork for all Fudds.
Do you remember how annoyed he was?
So angry.
No, I've had enough.
Because the night before, his team had gotten rinsed, and he was so irritated. Wasn't it like a ground ball? Or
no, it was a pop fly. It was a routine play.
Yeah.
A routine play. It was like game 148 on the season, and he starts yelling. You learn that in spring training. You
For the love of gracious, come on.
The best part about it, or one of the great parts about it to me, is like his voice is so good. Like, if somebody else said, no, I've had enough, it wouldn't be as good as that. When he does it,
it's so natural too, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just such a natural, perfect voice.
No, I've had enough.
Yeah, he's the man, Gary Thorne. So we got some news here in Toronto. Before, I guess, you know, we can look back on last night, but we're already looking ahead to the game tonight with Colorado in town, and Freddie Anderson throwing sports science to the wind. I guess he went in with Sheldon Keefe earlier today, or maybe on the plane back home last night, and said, I want to play. So he's going to play tonight. What do you make of that?
Well, I don't really have a problem with it. Other goalies can play back-to-back, but I still think where the sports science stuff comes in, and we can make fun of it, is that, but it does matter, in my opinion anyway, is that you look at his total workload. So, okay, he's playing Tuesday and Wednesday. We're certainly not going to go on the ice Thursday. What is he doing Friday? Is he playing Saturday? Or does he get Saturday off and now he's got 5 days off? Is it not just total workload, not whether it's back-to-back? It doesn't have to happen all the time, but, man, they got kicked in the pants last night. That was you know, I think if they had a different backup goalie or a different backup goalie situation, it might be different. But coming off that game, do you really want Hutchinson to start tonight?
No, you certainly don't. And I think if they're Boston 23-5, you're like, who cares? We're moving on. Like, we didn't like it, but Halak, you're up tonight. But the Leafs they don't have that luxury. I think this speaks to Freddie Anderson having perspective. He's not saying, hey, we're 4-2 under Sheldon Keefe. No, we're 13-12-4 on the season, and we're fighting for our lives, and it's December 4th. That's what it says to me.
He's got every point but one this year.
Right.
In net. Like, that's a... Like, you can talk about other things that have happened, and the D could be better, and CC could be playing better, and, you know, they could have better balance through the bottom of their lineup, whatever it is. But they've been really harmed by the fact that nobody else can get a point for them. Jamie, you talk about it all the time, about what you used to think about when you were backing up, and it's not just to go and keep the crease warm. You had to win a certain percentage of points you felt to be effective.
Yeah.
And they're not even close, and it's hurt. It's clearly not just an afterthought. It's clearly hurt the way that the Leafs sit in the standings.
To me, as a backup, having a really good season is being .500, because you are getting some of the crappy assignments, and there are going to be nights where it's just the team doesn't have it. You got to go out and either steal one or give them an opportunity. But Curtis McElhinney did it. Like, in a couple of years ago, I was telling the guys off air, the Edmonton Oilers, who weren't very good that season, or maybe they were, they came in here and put up 41 shots, and McElhinney shut them out, and they won nothing. We haven't seen those types of performances from a backup since he was here. And that's what you want, the backup to at least have that confidence where the coach goes, yeah, we want to give Freddie the night off, and we're not just mailing in the 2 points. Like, we think this guy can get us 2 points. And I before the Freddie news came out, I was saying to the guys off air, doesn't matter what type of effort that the Leafs put up tonight, the goaltender has to deliver 2 points. Well, now I'm looking at the team saying they've got to respond for Freddie Anderson, because they quit on him last night with 2.5 minutes left.
Well, we were just getting ready to get going in Vancouver, and the game was 2-1. And then, you know, we saw the quick one that made it 3-1. And then, you know, I refreshed things, and it was 6-1. I'm like, oh, they must have got a bunch of empty netters. And I'm like, but that's a mess what happened at the end last night. It's embarrassing. And those guys should be pumped today that Anderson's saying, yeah, I'm going to play again. Like, aside from Marner, which is exciting, this should be, like, they should feel like, man, this guy's going to the wall for us. It should be a motivating factor for them, for sure.
Ray, where are you at with Austin Matthews' game? I mean, he has the stats. I mean, it looks like he's going to get 30 or 40 goals and probably 85 points, but... there's just nights where it's, I don't know, it's he's so much better than being an opportunistic player than scoring a goal in the third period.
I'm so with you all that when I watch him play and then I look at his numbers, I'm like, well, they don't equate. Because I know just from the times that I watch when I'm right on the ice there and you see him skate, like when he's really skating, you're like, oh, my God, is... impact of the game is really, it's all over the ice because he's so big and so powerful. And then he has a play there where he waves at that guy on the sidewall and the guy just skates right by him. He's standing around in that group of guys where the pass comes from behind the net and it gets chipped into the net. Like, there are times it seems like, I don't know if this is the right term, or it's like he kind of fogs out for a minute. Like, he's not like quite connected to what he needs to be doing for a space of time. Like, I think he's really good, but I think he could be so much better.
Me too.
Well, and you know, this comparing and contrasting of Keefe and Babcock kept emphasizing defense, defense, defense. We're gonna get him to a point where Matthews is the best two-way player in the league. And I don't know if he actually believed that, but he felt that it was important to say it, and I'm sure he was trying to preach it to him. I can't imagine Keefe is going to do anything differently. Like, Sheldon Keefe is no different than any other coach. It starts in your own end. And the messaging publicly has been a little bit different, where Babcock, you knew what he was all about.
Yeah, but Ray's talked about it. You don't have to. Everyone can't be a 200-foot player, but he's got to be 85.
But, yeah, yes, you have to be 85, but at 11'6", you kind of have to be 200. But like, Nylander, Kapanen, they can maybe be 85 or, you know, 150, whatever you want to call it. But
right. He needs to be more terrifying on the ice. Like, I'm in Edmonton tonight, and I'm assuming that the Senators defensemen are not very excited to see Connor McDavid.
Right.
No.
Well,
or Leon Draisaitl. And I wouldn't say either one of them are going to win the Selkie, but they're terrifying on the ice. And there's too much where, too many times, I don't think Matthews brings that fear to the opponent because he's got it. Like, when I have this image of him scoring, like coming over the, or coming through the neutral zone when he's like, you know, he's got that wide stride and he's really powerful and just chews up the ice over the line and he rips a shot and he scores. And I can't even remember the last time that's happened.
No. It's true, though. That's exactly right. Okay, if you're not going to win a Selkie, and no one's expecting that necessarily, you better have, you know, double the opportunities the other way, where you are striking fear into your opponent.
I agree. And I keep thinking, there's a time along the way where the light went on for Leon Draisaitl.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about a terrifying player. He's a guy who can dominate a shift physically by holding on to the puck and driving the net and distributing the puck. That, I would argue, 18 months ago, you saw spurts of it, but you didn't see it nightly. Now you see it nightly with Draisaitl, because I think the light went on that, hey, I know what I'm capable of out here, and I'm bigger and stronger and just as fast, if not faster, and I shoot the puck. He's got all the tools. That's where I think people envision Austin Matthews doing that nightly, if you would say the light isn't on yet. And I, you know, at 22, Draisaitl, I think, is 23. Is he not, Ray?
Not far off.
Yeah, they're a year ahead. But guys arrive at different times. And to me, when I watch Draisaitl, a big, powerful man, dominate a game, I think Matthews is capable of that and has the ability to do that. Can he do that consistently? That would be the million-dollar question.
$11.6 million question.
Yeah, but it's interesting to me when you lay it out like that, Noodles, is that really the only limiting factor would be himself. Like, would be your commitment to doing it.
Right.
Because he's already got the size, he's certainly got the skill, he's got the skating ability, he's got the want, he's just got to have the want more frequently. And I don't know, maybe things have come so easily all the time. Like, he scores all the time. His numbers are always great. But there's just more there. Like, to me it's really obvious there's more there. It's, you know, how do you draw it out on a more consistent basis?
Well, I mean, tonight he's got a matchup with a guy who terrorizes the NHL every night.
Oh, does he ever?
Like, McKinnon is basically a right shot at McDavid. The way skate a little bit differently.
There's not a lot of difference, man.
Explosiveness.
No, they're explosive. Like, if they're bombing down the sideboard, you're in big trouble.
But
he stops up a little
McKinnon
bit more.
McKinnon wants middle ice. Like, he actually thrives there. Like, he wants to cut to the middle.
He's like McDavid, though, where he doesn't care what the ice is. He'll go wherever you want.
But he's physically stronger.
Oh, yeah, he's bigger.
I'm going here,
he's bigger.
Deal with it.
Yeah.
Well, I love watching when McKinnon picks up a head of steam.
Oof.
And unlike any other player in the game, as he's going, I don't know how fast he ever goes, but, you know, going at that speed, he's handling the puck at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen a guy stick handle more going at an incredible rate of speed.
When I was skating at my fastest, Ray, I had to shovel the puck ahead like a peewee player. Like, stick ahead and pushing it. I could boogie. I could get going, but I wasn't stick handling.
I felt like a lumberjack when I tried to stick handle hard, like fast. It was like clunk, 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 clunk. And he does it, and it's like so smooth, almost Marner-like quickness of the hands. Marner's way more tricky, right? But, like, McKinnon does it with such power. And without Landeskog, now he's got Rantanen back. If these guys have their game, what a load they are to try and defend. They're so big and so strong. It's like you cannot box them out. You can't keep them away from the net. And they're one of the top duos in the league. When they play together, they're one of the top four or five duos, you could say, that when those guys are on the ice, they're as good as anybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Rantanen, he's not a household name yet. Like, people that track the game closely, they're aware of what he's all about. But the average fan probably doesn't, you know, track him every single night. He's like, he's a poor man's Jágr. That's what I see.
Yeah,
he's, like he's and
6 foot four.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Big and strong, and
but he's skilled, man. Yeah. Like he'll use his body. It'll be a one man cycle and then a backhand sauce to the slot. Like yeah. it's not a package you see very often.
No, you're right.
Like he's that good.
But you can. But where Toronto can, if they're gonna make this game go their way tonight, where they make their game is in their zone. Colorado can still get a little bumpy in their zone. I think they're missing a couple of guys tonight, but they're not defensively. They're not a lock it down team, but they're fast and they can bump you physically a bit, and it's they'll be a more than a little bit of a challenge, I would think.
Well, it's been pretty evident Sheldon Keefe has been doing the opposite of Mike Babcock. In a lot of different areas. In a lot of areas, I think it's worked successfully.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing he's decided to stick to is playing Morgan Rielly and Cody Ceci as a pairing and playing them up against the best competition for 20-plus minutes a night. And I don't understand why he hasn't decided to change that up.
What other option? Like
anything. Anything. Like, honestly, last night was so bad. So bad, those two.
Well, where are you at with the comments of Kyle Dubas? Because do you remember it wasn't that long ago? Was that 2 weeks ago where he came out and said Cody Ceci's underlying numbers
not
a lot
anymore.
Better.
Not anymore.
I know, but I'm just telling you, they have their own data, whether they believe it or not, or if he's trying to build Cody Ceci up for something else. It's just they see something that we're not. That obviously.
Yeah.
That pair can't. It appears that we're seeing it. They can't handle the other team's top lines. So what are your options? You can move Dermott to the right side there, or you got Justin Hall, because you're not going to play Barry there.
There's no option. There's.
That's what I mean. There is really like. I don't know. Hall is really the best option because he's right-handed.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you try Muzzin again. Well, Muzzin with Barry. I think Muzzin with Rielly.
I think their hope is that Dermott gets there. Like, I didn't mind his game early on. He had a couple mistakes yesterday. Yeah.
Bad pinch
in that. He, you know, closes off the wall. But that was a nice pass by Meier.
I was going to say, that's tough to say a bad pinch. That was an unbelievable pass.
It was a really
pass.
Nice play by Meier to get it. But
it's one of those 1 in 10 passes that gets to the guy.
But I didn't mind his game. I think Dermott's a guy who's coming along. And they're hoping he can get higher in the lineup consistently. Like, that's somebody I think they're going, you know, give us 20 games here, and maybe that's a guy who supplants somebody in that top four.
Okay, so let's look at this, Noodle. So say Dermott is that guy.
Yeah.
So now you've got, you know, it's going to be on the right side because Muzzin and Rielly are on the left.
Correct.
So now you're going to have two right-handers in your bottom pair. How many right-handers, I don't know why, I mean, I literally don't have an explanation, but why don't any right-handers play the left side? It seems like it's never done or very rarely done.
Yeah.
Well, it was done in Winnipeg when they had the big three, if you call them that. Remember the Buff, who was
Trouba
and Myers. They were shifting them around because I think Trouba was pissed he wasn't playing in that top pairing, so they put him on the left side. But I can't remember off the top of my head if I can... You know, think of a snapshot of the league right now, a right-handed defenseman playing on the left side. I don't
very
think of
rare.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know if they're looking around, but one of the other issues they have is if they're looking around at another option externally is, as with the backup goalie, they have no cap space. None.
Yep.
So whatever they trade out is all that they can bring back in. And, yeah. you know, so you can't even say, oh, let's trade a second round pick for a defenseman to, you know, to boost our defense. You can't do that. You don't have enough cap room. I keep reading these articles, you know, maybe the Leafs will go down to 20 players, you know, to save cap space. Well, that's great till somebody gets the flu and warm up, and then you're short-handed. And you can say, oh, yeah, well, you could do that for one game. Then you got a four-game road trip. You can't go on the road with 20 guys.
You're so right.
they've got legit issues to build the roster to be a really competitive roster. And I don't know what the solution is, but at some point they've got to free up some cap space here.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. We'll start with tonight against Colorado. Nazem Kadri making his return. Enjoy that one. Enjoy the FUD. Make sure you just cherish that award. It's truly a spectacular award. And,
now, I don't know where you get the hat, but I want somebody to get, you know, make the effort to go get the hat. We could take a picture. Like, I think this is, it's really one of the most prestigious things I've ever won.
We'll get Carlo's brother to make it. He made us hoodies today. T-shirt gang. He'll make us hats for the FUD.
Okay. There you go. It's already, the wheels are in motion here.
See how quickly things happen on Overdrive?
Yeah. Well, it's just three geniuses, and then you join us, and we have... 3.5.
They're for sale on Amazon.
Well, we got to go through Carlo's brother.
All right.
The T-shirt gang. He'll do it for us. He'll make him. What are we calling him? The
FUD. The Elmer FUD. I don't know.
The FUD hat? Like, that sounds...
A FUDDY. Like footy. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Fair enough. There we go.
It's brilliant!
All right, buddy. You'll get your funny soon. There he is.
Okay, boys.
Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. For all of December, receive $500 Vaughn Mills gift cards when you purchase or lease any new in-stock vehicle. Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland. Jerry's percentage is next.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a...
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
Jerry! You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
And Jerry's percentage is brought to you by BPC Best Portuguese Chicken. From two people to 300. Let BPC Best Portuguese Chicken do the cooking. Head on down to 942 on the Queensway or online at bestpc.ca. Last week, I don't know if Jerry even had an opening statement. He wasn't in the mood, and
he was miserable.
Yeah, he was really awkward last week. So I believe ignorant. He's back with some sort of a statement.
He was ignorant last week.
Let's see what Jerry has in store for us this week.
I just had the idiots running TSN Radio send me the audio of Jerry's new jingle, The 12 Days of Leafsmas. And it's absolutely breathtaking. Jerry's sultry tones will be making the men nervous and the ladies blush. So watch yourself this Christmas, because Jerry's jingles will be supplying the soundtrack. And you know exactly what I mean.
The soundtrack.
I don't even know what to
release
make
that
of
on
that
iTunes.
Jerry's jingle.
Last year's was fantastic.
We should, yeah, we got to talk about that.
What did he do, Jerry Claus last year?
I remember Duffy voiced it.
I got to be honest, I think I've got exclusive video of that being shot.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay. We should put that up for auction.
No, that's locked in the vault.
I like that idea.
Do you remember? Somebody was voicing it, and I walked in.
Someone had a very puffy jacket on.
I saw that. Yes. You were walking around, and the guy was voicing it, and you had quite a time with that.
That was very funny.
Okay. Well, we'll have to have that conversation as well.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I think Jerry's jingles might have to make a triumphant return at some point.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get to the hot takes this week.
Nazem Kadri returns to Toronto tonight to let Leafs fans reminisce what it was like to cheer for a player with some jam. And he'll stick out tonight with either a big hit or a goal scored. You know he's getting a video tribute too. Oh, dog, only dreams.
And Matt Stajan, evidently.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that about Stajan.
How about you? You and Stajan have even more in common. former Leafs, and both guys got stiffed on a return montage. That's a bit of a shot at this current team, suggesting that no one has jam on the team.
Yeah.
Jerry with a bit of a greasy, gutless comment.
So what is the percentage
that Kadri
gets a goal?
Massive hit or a goal tonight?
Could be
80%. One or the other, it's 85%.
I think he scores tonight.
I don't think he has a massive hit?
I think he'll be looking for it.
Here's the thing. Even if he gets a clean lick on somebody, you know the storyline will be like, those two didn't like each other. Like, say he catches
Morgan Riley, who he's been with forever.
Yeah, and they're buddies.
They're boys.
He hammers Morgan Riley with a clean hit.
Isn't it weird, though? Like, back in the day, when he came back and he wanted to be a hero, being Kadri, there would be four or five guys on Toronto saying, I want to get a lick on him just to say, you know what, you're not here anymore, so suck on that one. Yeah. But that's so far from what's going to happen tonight.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? If he throws a massive hit, no one's going to do anything.
No, but there'd be a bunch of guys that say, I want to drill him through the boards and say, you know what, screw you, you're not here anymore. We got rid of you.
Right.
But that's not even close to the reality.
No. I'm 81% tonight. 81%.
Yeah, I'm
goal or a big hit. Kadri's going to be something.
84%.
Some people watch horror movies when they're looking for a jolt. Jerry watches game tape of Morgan Riley and Cody Ceci in their own end. But that pairing will be split up by January 1st.
That's another ruthless comment.
That's ignorant.
I don't know what to make of this because I don't know why it hasn't been broken up yet.
You know why. There's not really another option to break it up.
I hear you, but like Keith has tried to do everything different than Babcock except for that. The top pairing is going to stick together and get shelled every night against the best competition.
I'll ask you the question I asked you before. If Justin Hall went up there and played with Riley, would you notice much of a difference?
No, now I've come around. And I don't know if it would be much of a difference because Hall might get shelled in too.
Right.
But at the very least, it's a bit of a different look. Or you put Muzzin with, put Barry with Riley even. I don't care. But something's got to give. And I think by January 1st, it will be split up. Because I think at some point, Sheldon Keefe, Dubas and company will say it's not working.
Yeah, I'm 100% on that.
I laid out my thoughts. I think Dermott gets back into playing the way that they think he's capable of, just coming off the injury. I think he's a guy who pushes up and pushes the lineup around.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm 96%.
95% just to play the game.
Even Jerry's starting to believe in the Bills this season. And I'm thinking of mixing in a Bills Mafia meetup this weekend. Because Buffalo will beat the Ravens on Sunday. Jerry might show up and jump on a table. Jerry loves that. Does it all the time.
Jerry is a member of Bills Mafia this weekend. Baltimore, Lamar Jackson at the Ralph. I think they're 5.5-point dogs at home, but Jerry's saying they're going to win outright.
I think 0%. I think the Ravens are going to beat the hell out of them. And if you want a little...
Whose pick is it?
Well, we don't usually play Sunday games, but I'll talk about it because they've got a long week. They played last Thursday where they laid a beating on your Cowboys. They're back home.
I'm Patriots, idiot.
All right. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And
LeBron is Cowboys.
Josh Allen has come alive. They're dogs, but it's not 0% that they win the game. They're starting to sniff out winning the division, too. They got a game in New England in a couple of weeks. I'm going to say 35% Buffalo wins that game.
Ooh.
35%.
I'm zero.
Okay.
If you want to go just straight up winner.
No, I have no interest in that. Straight up winner, I'm not doing that. They're a huge dog. I'm not...
Yeah, but show some nuts.
I just said,
I don't know.
I just said 35%. If I said 100%,
yeah,
Bills,
35 is.
I still think Baltimore is probably going to win.
41%.
There you go.
I'll give it to the Bills.
Big game for the Pats this weekend, hosting the Chiefs. I wonder what old Bobby Kraft's pregame move will be.
I think I know what it'll be.
Jerry's on the Pats big.
Bob Kraft. You know what he used to do before big games. I don't think he's doing it anymore.
Body slide.
Allegedly.
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 Yeah, that went away.
Oh, yeah. Old Bobby knows that some people in South Florida. I think this, what a game this is going to be. Kansas City at New England. The Pats, the two losses have been against.
Gary's just calling for a Pats win.
Yeah, he's got Pats winning.
I'm going, and I'm a Pats all the way, 25%.
Really? You're not believing?
They're unbelievable at home. They usually bounce back and respond, but.
Look who they've lost to. Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson. What do you think? You don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to bring the same element of fear to that team?
No kidding.
And he's going to put up points. So can Brady put 30 points on the board if he has to? I don't know if he can.
Going 15%.
I'm going to say 50% because it's still Belichick, Brady in New England.
I was just going to say, Belichick, Brady in. Now, where's Antonio Brown? Is this guy?
He's out. Because now
sure
he's tweeting about everyone, you know, it's conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they need somebody.
No, he's not coming back.
I know, but.
And Gronk, that ship has sailed. He can't come back anymore either.
Could Antonio Brown technically come back?
I don't think so anymore.
I don't think so either.
No,
so
now it's too late. Even, yeah. All right. It's done.
57%. I believe in the Pats.
They're 10-2.
Exactly. And people are acting like I was in America yesterday. And they were saying, like, is Brady done? Like, that was one of the headlines.
What are they saying in Philly about the Eagles? They must be going crazy.
There were some real grit grinders there yesterday that were.
Well, they got the Giants on Monday night, and Eli Manning's back. Daniel Jones has a high ankle sprain. He's out. Eli is making his return.
That's one of our Jerrys, that Eli was going to.
That's right.
Was going
to. Get a chance to play again.
Exactly.
And he's got a chance basically to end Philly's season. Like, if Eli returns and lays a beating on the Eagles, and it's not out of the realm of possibility, Philly just lost in Miami a week ago.
Yeah, people are worked up around there.
Yeah. Oh, they should be.
Yeah.
All right, Jerry's After Dark in about an hour. There's still, I think, at least one, maybe two more Jerry's. Okay, so maybe we got two more for Jerry's After Dark.
Let's hit one more now.
You got time?
No, we'll save it. We'll do an extended Jerry's After Dark. All right.
I love that. Two more?
Two more coming up in about an hour.
Two more?
Horny hot takes from Jerry.
That's right.
We have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Hurricanes on December 23rd. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you will have the chance to call in and name that Leaf. This former Leaf is the same height as TSN's Ray Ferraro, sitting at 5'10". That's a weird clue. Okay. There's a new study out. The average person, how much TV they will watch in their lifetime.
Well, us three can't even be in the same.
I'll tell you what the number is, and you guys tell me if you think it's too high, too low, or appropriate.
Whatever it is, I'm double.
Okay, well,
triple.
We'll tell you that next. All right, quick shout-out. Congratulations to Colin Scott from Mississauga. Colin has just qualified to win a pair of tickets to see Kawhi Leonard's return to Toronto a week tonight. Visit tsn1050.ca and enter for your chance to win. Our final qualifier will be announced tomorrow right here on Overdrive, and on Friday we'll announce the grand prize winner. So you got Kadri returning tonight. He'll get a big ovation, but Kawhi returns a week tonight.
Yeah.
And that is going to be...
emotional?
Unprecedented.
Will it be emotional?
I don't even know what to expect. I don't. I mean, he's going to get a massive ovation. There might be a couple of scattered boos. Like, there might be.
Really?
There'll be no boos. He'll get a nice ovation and move on with the game. Darcy Tucker came back, and he got an ovation, and they moved on with the game.
Has he...
Kawhi's different than...
They've given him his ring, obviously, right?
No, they're going to give it to him when he comes home.
Kadri.
No, I'm talking about Kawhi.
Oh, Kawhi.
Kawhi's so different. Like, Kadri...
He's going to get a scatter boost.
Kadri will get an ovation tonight. Kadri and Tucker are very similar, traded to the same team.
Yeah,
like, fan favorites, traded.
Okay, hold on a second.
But Kawhi left as a free agent after a title.
But hold on a second. You think Kawhi will get a couple boos? I think Kadri would get a couple boos.
Because of the suspension?
Yes.
No.
I don't know.
Hold on.
I don't know.
There are people in this market that believe that the Leafs would have won that series, both series, potentially, had Kadri not been suspended.
I think that's a high probability that would have happened.
Kawhi won them a championship.
Oh, I know that.
Four million people showed up to a parade, and he's going to have scattered boos?
Kadri got traded.
Yes,
Kawhi,
I understand that.
Kawhi sent a text and said, see you later.
You're right.
There is a very big difference.
After a championship,
no,
it's not like...
I'm not saying I would cheer him loudly, and I think 99% of... There might be a couple of scattered people that decide, I'm not happy that you left, which is fine. You're allowed to... I'm not happy you left.
No, I get that.
I'm not going to boo him because of it, but I'm not happy you left.
But you've got a replica ring because of Kawhi.
That's right. I do. And I love that replica
ring. But that's
ring.
What I'm saying, like... I would be shocked if Kawhi had any type of boo. I could see Nazem. I know he's GTA, homegrown, everything like that, and loved. But there are still some people that have a little bit of a sore spot for his playoffs the last couple years.
As they should.
So
I totally agree with that. I have a sour.
I'm just shocked about that.
I just think... Drafted here, played here for a long time, traded.
And loves it here,
loved
and
it here,
I get it.
Wanted to stay. I think Jake Gardner's return is going to be quite the science experiment.
No. He'll get scattered boos and cheers, but Jake Gardner won't care about it.
He will not care. I think Kadri will care tonight.
Yeah,
like, I think
emotional.
He'd be affected if he got booed.
I think if they pan to his father will probably have some tears. Like I think it'll be very emotional for the Kadri family.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, it was a long, long run. He got dealt. He didn't want to leave.
And I understand that. But I still think if this was a Jerry's percentage or a poll, who would more likely get some scattered boos, maybe 2% of boos? I think it would be more of Kadri than Kawhi just because Kawhi delivered a championship.
Yeah, I think that's probably valid.
Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think you're right. I hadn't really thought of the idea of booing the suspension, but I guess that's a possibility.
I don't think he will. I
think both of them are going to get a pretty good
ovation. The fact that I don't think either one of them should be booed.
I wouldn't either.
What happens with fans is they introduce Kawhi and he gets cheered. And then halfway through the game, he touches the ball, and they're like, boo.
Yeah, that
you
is
went
a
to
possibility.
The Clippers, boo.
Oh, yeah, that could be.
That's what they do every time.
Yeah, that's valid. And listen, no one's happy he left, but it's over, and they're 15-5. So there is a survey that has come out of London, England, commissioned by LG Electronics. So they got some skin in the game. Like, they make TVs.
Yeah.
You guys want to guess? I mean, I guess I'll put this out for you. You want to guess the way they calculated this, the average person, how many hours the average person will watch TV throughout their lifetime? How many hours?
50,000 hours.
50,000? Come on, more than that. A million hours.
A million hours? What?
I don't think you're even alive for a million hours.
I think you live for a million hours.
A million hours.
Dude, there's 24 hours in a day.
365 a year, yes.
Like, you could not have been... You blew past... What is it?
Dude, they say you sleep for 24 years of your life.
How old do you want to be?
Okay.
How old do you want to live to? 90? If you live 90...
Sure.
82.
That's 788,000 hours that you've lived.
So, yeah. The old dog, you got to be an 120 and watch every second of your life watch TV. 78,000 hours. 78,000 hours.
That's 10% of your life.
But it's way off. Like, it's way off because they only calculate, they claim people on average will watch 3,600 movies and 31,500 episodes of TV.
Yeah, no. But the three of us watch from the time we get home until the time we go to bed.
I know, it's pathetic, but probably 3 hours
that.
A day I'm watching
We're
TV.
Double that.
Double or triple.
Double.
And movies?
We're a million hours.
Movies, like I...
How about sports? It's not even included in this.
Yeah,
I'm 200 grand
I'm a
minimum.
Yeah, I'm a million.
Final hour up next. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.